fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with a look at some of the goal-scoring highlights by African players in the major European club football leagues over the weekend. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the 2015 African Footballer of the Year from Gabon, scored Arsenal's third goal in the 77th minute in the team's 3-0 victory over Watford Sunday in an English Premier League match played in London. The victory snapped a 3-match losing streak in the Premier League by the Gunners of Arsenal, who are 6th in the standings with 48 points, 30 points behind runaway leader Manchester City. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Arsenal's Peter Cech, who registered his 200th Premier League clean sheet, the first goalkeeper to achieve this feat in EPL history. The Algerian Riyad Mahrez, the 2016 African Footballer of the Year, had a second-half goal for Leicester City, and so did Nigerian teammate Kelechi Iheanacho in Leicester City's 4-1 road victory over West Bromwich Albion. Still in England, Ivorian defender Serge Aurier scored on a late far post header for Tottenham Hotspur as the Spurs were 4-1 winners on the road against Bournemouth. Taking a quick look at the Premier League's leading goal scorers, Liverpool striker Mohamed Salah, the 2017 African Footballer of the Year from Egypt, is tied with Harry Kane of Tottenham for most goals this season with 24. South Sudan's new football coach, Asin Ait Abdelmalek, says confidence is key to taking the team to new heights. The Algerian Abdelmalek signed a 2-year deal with the South Sudan Football Association last week. Coach Abdelmalek says, and I quote, "With self-belief, nothing is impossible in African football, so we have to dream big and work extra hard together." He also called on all South Sudanese to rally around the team, saying public support will be crucial in order to boost the morale of the team and get results that hopefully, in Abdelmalek's words, will take us to the next level. Abdelmalek is the third foreign manager in charge of the Bright Stars of South Sudan, following the South Korean Lee Sung-ji and the Serbian Zoran Dordevic. Abdelmalek is tasked with qualifying South Sudan for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon, and that certainly will not be an easy task. The Bright Stars are currently bottom of 2019 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying Group C after a 3-0 away defeat to group leader Burundi. Abdelmalek's first competitive match in charge will be a home Nations Cup qualifier against Mali on September 7th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with more African football news is reporter Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with former France and Real Madrid star Christian Karembo, who says he's confident that the Nigerian Super Eagles is capable of doing great things at the 2018 Summer FIFA World Cup in Russia. Karembo, who accompanied the FIFA World Cup trophy to Nigeria on a four-day tour, predicted that the three-time African champions will be one of the standout teams at the 2018 World Cup.
Big names, big talents, and so far today there is Obi Mikel with his team, and we wish the Super Eagles the best, and of course to bring back this trophy because they are talented, they have experience, and of course one of the coach, Mr. Gernot Rowe, I know very well. He has been in France also. He did educate many big talent as Zinedine Zidane or Djougari in Bordeaux. So far, I hope that the Super Eagles will be and will do for Africa, the summum, and the summum, and one objective is to bring back the World Cup here in Africa, so far in Nigeria.
The Cameroon Football Federation, FECAFOOT, has launched a tender for the recruitment of the head coach for the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon to replace Hugo Bruce. The federation parted ways with Hugo Bruce late last year. The 65-year-old guided Cameroon to the 2017 African Cup of Nations AFCON title in Gabon. The post became vacant in December last year when Bruce lost his job for several reasons, including failure to qualify the African champions for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Staying with football news, irrepressible Al Ahly are just 1 point away from securing a third straight Egyptian Premier League title after an early goal gave them a 1-0 victory over Enapi at the Cairo's Petrosport Stadium on Sunday. Central defender Ayem Asharaf struck as early as the third minute as Ahly chalked up a 15th consecutive win, which put them within touching distance of a record-extending 40th league triumph. The Red Devils are now on top of the table with 75 points, a staggering 22 points ahead of a second-place Ismaili. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In Major League Soccer news, Atlanta United defeated DC United Sunday 3-1 in front of a MLS record crowd of 72,035. Atlanta United smashed attendance records last season during its first season in MLS, and the team sure looks like it could set some more records this season. Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta was sold out. And even though they lost, DC United's head coach Ben Olsen and his players used words like wonderful, special, amazing, and awesome to describe the big crowd in Atlanta. Well, I think more than a few tennis fans would say it's wonderful, special, amazing, and awesome whenever the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, renew their sibling rivalry, and they'll do so for a 29th time later Monday night in California. Joining us now with more details is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Yes, it's happening. The sister showdown. The Williams sisters will face off in the third round at the BNP Open. On Saturday, Venus defeated Sorana Sirstea of Romania 6-3, 6-4. After the match, Venus said break chances helped her win.
Yeah, I had a lot of opportunities in those games that I lost, so I knew I was putting myself in the right position to win those games. So I think not getting down a double break was super helpful for me. She played well in that game, but I was happy to get it and keep it close, and that I think made a difference.
Later that day, Serena defeated Kiki Bertens of the Netherlands 7-6, 7-5. After her match, Serena said she's still working on getting the kinks out.
It definitely felt better than the first round, but I mean, I'm still a little rusty. I'm still making errors that I don't normally make, but I call this a trial run. You know, I didn't, even with the baby, like a trial run with traveling with the baby and traveling, like all this is like just so new to me. So, yeah, I'm getting there.
The last time the Williams sisters met in an early round match was in the second round at the Australian Open in 1998. But Serena says it's easier to play her sister later rather than sooner.
I think it's a huge difference to play her in the semifinals or even the quarterfinals or a final as opposed to the third round. You know, we can always stay in the tournament longer if, you know, the both of us are in the tournament and having to play each other in the third round, one of us is going to be gone. So that's it's definitely a lot easier to play later on.
Venus and Serena face off Monday night for the 29th time. Serena is in the lead in wins 17-11, and I'll have social media reaction tomorrow. I can't wait. In other news, American golf star Tiger Woods roared to a second-place finish at the Valspar Championship on Sunday in Florida, one stroke behind England's Paul Casey. Tiger lit up the course at the 17th with a perfectly executed 45-foot birdie that put him one shot behind the leader. But Tiger came up short at the 18th, missing a 40-foot birdie that would have forced a playoff. After finishing his final round, Tiger Woods told the press he fought hard to come out on top.
I had a chance today. Yeah. I really did. And the golf course, the way as difficult as it was playing today, I thought it was going to take a little lower score. But as the front nine evolved, no one was doing much. And I just thought that if I could just make a few birdies in that back nine, shoot 300 par in that back nine, I think that would have been the number to do it. And actually would have been the number.
But despite coming up short, Tiger said he felt good about his game.
Yeah, I felt very comfortable. Very comfortable. I told you guys yesterday, I've been here before a few times. And so it felt very comfortable. And my game was quite solid this entire week. As a whole, I felt very, very good about what I did this week.
And on Twitter, Tiger thanked everyone for sticking by him, writing, "Wow, what an amazing week. People, atmosphere, adrenaline, back nine on Sunday. Man, I've missed this. Getting better. Thank you for all the support." And Twitter fans thanked him back. This tweeter wrote, "Man, my heart was racing when you were putting on 18 today. Glad to have that experience again. Thanks for the thrill." Another wrote, "One giant step for Tiger, one fantastic week for all his golf fans. Keep it going." And this follower is already looking towards the future, writing, "Hope he keeps it up and stays healthy in the coming weeks. It's all about the Masters." And this tweet reminded us of Paul Casey's victory, writing, "Hats off to Paul Casey's come-from-behind win. Well done." Yes, Paul Casey began the day six strokes back, but made seven birdies and just one bogey in his first 13 holes, claiming victory at the Valspar Championship, his second on the PGA Tour. More social media tomorrow. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Here's a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Virginia McLaurin, who's celebrating her 109th birthday on this Monday. Virginia lives right here in Washington, D.C., and she enjoys sports and the Harlem Globetrotters basketball team. We'll hear from Virginia in this report by my VOA colleague, Faith Lapidus. But first, Faith introduces us to an age-defying soccer coach in Peru.
92-year-old soccer coach Maria Angelica Ramos is dwarfed by most of her players, but she's not let age distract her from her goal of turning the youngsters on a junior squad in Lima, Peru, into full-fledged football players.
I've been here for more than 40 years, but when I lived in Barranco, I already had a team. I left that when I came here, so you can imagine how many years I've been in this sport.
With her brusque style, salty language, and emphasis on discipline, she's earned the affection of the young players, who call her La Vieja, or the old lady. Her coaching style has taken her club to many championships, and she says she does not intend to stop.
I am going to keep going as long as God wants me to. I do not know, but I think I'm going to die in some soccer pitch. But I am going to keep going with this.
Virginia McLaurin may need a bit of help spinning a basketball, but she can still dance. She showed off her style 2 years ago when, at age 106, she danced with the Obamas at the White House. This week, she celebrated her upcoming 109th birthday at a Washington elementary school with members of the Harlem Globetrotters.
I don't know of anything that made me feel so happy to be with the children and the Globetrotters. This is really joy to my heart.
This is the third year McLaurin and the athletes have visited with students for her birthday, which is coming up March 12th. I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Thanks, Faith. And once again, happy 109th birthday to Virginia McLaurin. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, U.S. college basketball fans, get ready for that exciting time of year known as March Madness.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
U.S. college basketball fans are looking forward to the NCAA Division I Men's Championship Tournament, which tips off on Tuesday night. Now, the single elimination event has become known as March Madness because of the upsets, usually in the early rounds, at various venues across the United States. The 80th edition of the popular tournament will conclude with the championship game on April 2nd at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. A total of 68 teams will begin the tournament. On Sunday night, the top seeds and the brackets were revealed. The teams that earn number one seeds are Virginia, Xavier University, a school based in Cincinnati, Ohio, two-time national champion Villanova, located just outside Philadelphia, and three-time national champion Kansas. The defending national champion is the University of North Carolina, which last year lifted its sixth trophy at University of Phoenix Stadium in the western U.S. state of Arizona. The Tar Heels of North Carolina, they're back in the tournament this year. They're seeded second, and they'll begin play on Friday in Charlotte, North Carolina, where they'll take on Lipscomb University. I had not heard of Lipscomb, so I had to do a little research. Lipscomb is a school based in the southern U.S. city of Nashville, Tennessee. And with that game being played in Charlotte, North Carolina, I'm sure the Tar Heels will have the fans on their side for that first round encounter. And this Sunny Side of Sports programming note, I'll chat with Dan Friedel on Tuesday's show about March Madness and maybe some of the African players we should watch during the tournament this year. Well, I mentioned San Antonio, Texas as the place where the tournament will culminate on April 2nd. Also in San Antonio, Ghanaian boxer Richard Comey scored a spectacular sixth-round knockout over the weekend of previously unbeaten Alejandro Luna. The bout at the Freeman Coliseum in San Antonio was described as an important International Boxing Federation lightweight title elimination contest. Comey sent Luna twice to the canvas in round six. The Ghanaian improved his professional record to 26 wins and 2 losses with 23 knockouts. Luna now has 22 victories and 1 defeat with 15 knockouts. But with that victory, Richard Comey should move closer to an IBF title fight thanks to that big sixth-round knockout. In the U.S. city of Deadwood, South Dakota, former world champion Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo of Namibia suffered his second straight loss to an American opponent. Regis Prograis knocked out Ndongo in the second round in a fight for the vacant WBC interim light welterweight title. Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo will have to regroup after 2 terrible losses. The Namibian was knocked out in the third round by American Terrence Crawford last year in Lincoln, Nebraska. And speaking of Crawford, he's scheduled to challenge the Australian Jeff Horn on April 14th in Las Vegas, Nevada, where Horn's WBO welterweight title will be on the line. Horn's promoter, Dean Lonergan, is describing Horn versus Crawford as the most significant fight in the history of Australian boxing. According to Lonergan, the contract ensures one Australian, one American, and one European judge will be scoring the fight ringside in Las Vegas. Both fighters have agreed to two mandatory blood and urine tests before and after the fight. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Haiti. That's reporter Haiti Fitzpatrick. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, that Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association news, the Toronto Raptors topped the visiting New York Knicks Sunday 132-106 for their season-high 8th consecutive victory. Lithuanian big man Jonas Valanciunas scored 17 points for the Raptors, while All-Star guard Kyle Lowry added 16 more points. The Raptors had no letdown after beating the Houston Rockets on Friday night 108-105 to snap Houston's 17-game winning streak. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, Carl Anthony Towns helped the Minnesota Timberwolves stop a season-worst 3-game losing streak. Towns had 31 points and 16 rebounds, and the T-Wolves powered past the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors 109-103. In Los Angeles, California, Julius Randle had a career-high 36 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 assists, and the Los Angeles Lakers defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers 127-113. Isaiah Thomas added 20 points, 9 assists, and 5 rebounds against his former Cavaliers teammates. Our VOA basketball fans will remember the Cavaliers traded Thomas to the Lakers right before the All-Star break. In New Orleans, Louisiana, the hometown New Orleans Jazz the Utah Jazz beat the hometown New Orleans Pelicans 116-99. Ricky Rubio had 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists as the Jazz were victorious. Victor Oladipo had 27 points to lead the Indiana Pacers to a 99-97 victory over the Boston Celtics. Kyrie Irving, the star point guard for the Celtics, he had to leave the game with a sore left knee, and there's now talk that Irving might have to sit out for a while to get healthy, and that's bad news for the Celtics. Irving, one of their key players. And that wraps up the March 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Bill Barber. Double billing this evening with Bill Werkinger and Bill Barber. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The long reach of terrorism threatens to steal the future of countless Africans, said Secretary Rex Tillerson in a recent speech. In the last year alone, thousands of Africans have died at the hands of terrorists. In response to this growing threat, the United States sanctioned 7 ISIS-affiliated groups, including ISIS West Africa and ISIS Somalia, and their leaders, in an effort to cut off the resources that these groups use to carry out attacks. To prevail against such evil forces, said Secretary Tillerson, the United States has committed to working with African partners to rid the continent and the world of terrorism by addressing the drivers of conflict that lead to radicalization and recruitment in the first place, and building the institutional law enforcement capacity of African nations. Terrorism knows no borders. In the Sahel and the Lake Chad Basin, Boko Haram, ISIS West Africa, Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, and other groups are adaptable, they're resilient, and capable of launching attacks throughout the area, noted Secretary Tillerson. Regional cooperation is crucial to disrupting those attacks and denying these terrorist organizations the capability to plan and carry out attacks in the future. The nations of Burkina Faso, Chad, Mali, Mauritania, and Niger, also known as the G5 Sahel, are pooling their expertise and resources to fight terrorism. To support their efforts, the United States has committed $60 million in security assistance to enable G5 Sahel countries to counter terrorism across the region. In addition, for more than a decade, the United States has supported the Trans-Sahara Counterterrorism Partnership to provide training and promote cooperation between military, law enforcement, and civil actors across North and West Africa. In East Africa, the United States has used the Partnership for Regional East Africa Counterterrorism since 2009 to do the same. The Counterterrorism Partnership Fund is another important resource that helps African partners build their capacity to counterterrorism. Since 2016, the United States has contributed more than $140 million to help partners prevent terrorist safe havens and the recruitment through these partnerships. The United States also provides the African Union mission in Somalia with training, equipment, mentorship, unarmed aerial surveillance, and operational support to enable African nations to fight terrorism in Somalia. There are no quick fixes to the terrorist threat, but the United States is committed to meeting the challenge head-on in partnership with African countries so the continent ultimately can become a place of prosperity, freedom, and safety.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Lina Ahmadou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will look at cold sores, why they appear, and what can be done to minimize the painful symptoms and stigma that surrounds them. Our guest, a pharmacist, Dr. Georgia Pasedis. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is on a five-nation tour of Africa, and high on his agenda are talks on counterterrorism and advancing mutual ties with nations on the continent. On his first trip to Africa as America's top diplomat, he is expected to meet with leaders from Chad, Djibouti, Ethiopia, Kenya, and Nigeria. U.S.-Africa relations is the topic on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.